I'm Jesse DeGroot, the marketing representative for the Mack Hayden Theater in Chatham, New York, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM, WGXC, ICRA.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Judd Malton of Hillsdale, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is WA3QIZ. Do you read me?
Seymour, isn't it about time you made a real friend?
Mother, please, I'm communicating with my fellow hams.
How do I talk? Push this button here. You're all losers!
Gig Talk. Gig Talk.
Can you hear the music now, Matt?
Gig Talk.
I heard it and then you muted it.
Oh, it was when my mic came on.
Gig Talk.
Yeah, I heard it when your mic wasn't on.
Talking about the life on stage, shady promoters and tour van rage. If you've got a tale to tell, call us up because we're here to help.
So I said to Bill Brand, Bill, I got your opening band, Family Group, from the Philippines, and they sing wonderfully. He's like, how dare you call me? Blew out the power to the entire neighborhood, so the gig didn't happen.
Stories true,
so yeah, really low.
Funny. Sometimes problems with the money, problems with the backline gear.
I'm trying to bring it down so you can talk over it.
Okay. Are we? Should I start talking? Yeah. Hey, folks. This is Gig Talk. My name's Matt. Our co-host Kevin. I don't know where he is. Like, I hope he's okay. If anybody knows where Kevin is, call up Gig Talk at 518-622-2598. While Kevin's not here, anyone that's ever played a gig with Kevin can call in and tell us their favorite Kevin gig story. Hey, Kevin, where are you at? You going to be on the show tonight? If not, anyone else that wants to be on the show, you know, I'm going to send him a message right now. Where are you at? In an email. I already sent a text. Should I send him a Facebook message? I don't know if I need to send a Facebook message either. But I'm not going to send him a Twitter or an Instagram message. There's too many messages you can send one person all these days. How many messages are you getting every day, folks? Gig Talk, 518-622-2598. Have you looked into the rescheduled concerts of the future? Have you had any of your tickets that you were trying to get a refund for not gone through? Are you supporting the internet community of online gigs by donating via PayPal when the Twitch account comes up and it says, hey, donate here? Maybe you're doing it. Maybe you're not. I understand times are tough. You might have not gotten unemployment yet. Most people haven't. It's a real government slowdown, quagmire in the city. But yeah, Gig Talk, it's 518-622-2598. Before we got on the air, I was reviewing some old gig flyers, and that was exciting to do. tell us about your old gig flyers. Maybe you found them in a shoebox. Maybe you found them in a cardboard box. Maybe you found them in a bin. Maybe you found them in a plastic bag. Maybe you found them under your bed. Maybe you burnt them when you lost your favorite band after the drummer kicks you out because you're not so good as a singer and you regret having them. Oh, we have a call.
Caller, you're on the air?
Yeah, I'm on the air just like that, huh? Straight to the air.
Hi, you're on the radio. I can't hear anything.
Yeah, well, let me turn down the radio here.
Okay, hey, speak louder, okay. Sir.
So this is Dan calling into Gig Talk. Dan from Brooklyn, Park Slope.
Oh, hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Matt?
I'm hanging in.
Good.
I don't know where Kevin is. Do you know where Kevin is?
I have no idea where Kevin is. I wish I could help you with that, but no clue.
Do you want to bike over to his place in Williamsburg and throw a rock at the door?
No, I don't think I want to do that. I'm kind of stuck here for now. No traveling to Williamsburg tonight. But you know, I'm sure you can. You know, you and your guests and your callers can certainly keep the show floating here and talk about gigs. You know, you mentioned you referenced online gigs, and I think that's something to talk about. I mean, that's certainly what gigs we have right now. I've certainly been checking out a few of those, and I know you've been involved in a few of those, so maybe we could explore some of our experience there. How have they been for you? You've actually performed in some of online gigs, and what's that like for you?
Well, in my case, it was actually fairly close to playing a gig because the amount of uncertainty that was happening felt authentic. Because I was supposed to play based on a timetable that was emailed to me like a week or so in advance. And at that time, it said I was supposed to play at 7:50 p.m. And then at 5 p.m., my friend who was organizing the tech side said, okay, well, if you have any problems, send a message to the group because I'm playing before you. Uh-huh. And I said, yeah, in 3 hours. And he was like, no, in 1 hour. Mm. And I was ready to get in the sauna right then.
Right.
And so my sauna experience had to be postponed because suddenly I was playing in 1 hour instead of 3 hours. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. Yeah, well, I guess there was a communication problem there. But I've also noticed as an observer, you know, as a fan of watching different things, you know, there are a lot of things happening all over the globe that I can tune into. So I have to do that sort of time zone calculator kind of thing. I'm still getting used to that, you know. 7:30 here is 2:30 there. I mean, you know, it can get confusing, right? I mean, we all have to get up to speed on our clocks, right?
Yeah. Ooh, that sounded good, Tom. Whatever you did there sounded like it got louder. Dan, are you still with us?
I'm still here, yeah.
Okay,
well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Something sounds hotter. It's cool. So, okay.
Well, yeah, well,
we got,
I
hold on 1 second.
Sure. Maybe that's Kevin.
No, yeah, no, Kevin is not here yet. We don't know where he is. Right. But so in terms of the international gigs you've seen, yeah, you're like very astute in New York, and you were going to gigs all the time in New York.
Sure.
Who have you gotten to listen to from the international stage that you're excited by?
Well, you know, it just happens that I was watching something this afternoon that I think the broadcast as it was originated in the UK, but they were hosting artists live from various various countries, including we had Jen Cutler was live today through this stream. I guess she's somewhere in the state of New York. And then there was an artist, I think, based in Ireland, who was presented. That's as much of it as I saw. But But yeah, there's a this particular program, you know, was certainly international. I mean, you know, it was kind of traversing the whole globe to try to get that program out there. That, so that was a little mind bending, but it was good. And you know, there, but mostly I've been watching things on screen. You know, like different kinds of live gigs on screen, whether through Twitch or Zoom or other. And most of them, however, are local to the New York area. That's mostly what I've been seeing. But you know, occasionally something has come to my attention that's out in the world beyond New York. Yeah,
right on. Well, let me ask you this: do you think when you watch a performance, and if it's just, let's say, a solo saxophone or a solo violin or whatever instrument the person's playing,
yeah,
and the only thing that the person is doing is playing their instrument in the room they're in.
Mm.
Is that, do you accept that potentially they might have technical limitations, like in terms of understanding digital computer media to push it further? Mm. Or do you think, hey, if you're going to take the effort to try and be communicating through the art of transmission over the internet and a screen, that maybe you need to learn about the options of it being a wider format?
Sure. Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it depends on the artist and their particular artistry. I don't think I've seen recently a screen performance that was just a strictly acoustic instrument, although I've seen some sort of practices and just casual sessions that where people are doing that. But yeah, I mean, it depends on the artist, Matt. I don't know that every artist necessarily has to, expand their sound with technology, even in this
right
format. I think if you're in a nice location and you have a nice resonance in the room where you're playing your violin or your piano or what have you, I certainly think it could be a powerful event online, potentially.
Absolutely. So it doesn't have to be exactly... It's not either or,
right.
But it's also there's a gray area between you judging whether you want to see more of a video creation versus who the instrumentalist is. But I think you're right that if the instrument is creating a resonance in the room versus hitting the dead wall of your laundry room or something like that.
Right.
That's a consideration that each artist should be making when they're doing their live stream.
Sure, absolutely. And you ought to be, exploring your microphone options, your audio interfaces, and all the different settings that are involved in your broadcast, whatever you're using. So yeah, that's all. Should be paying attention to all that. Sure. Having said all that, you know, the things that I've been finding most interesting are the performances or presentations that work with the situation in creative ways. You know, the flat screen, you know, the reality that we're dealing with now, people using it in interesting ways. And, you know, I guess admittedly most of it much of it is visual. So I think certainly right now with gigs, at least putting some emphasis on the visual and how the what different tools you can use to put visual material out there is certainly I think what makes so far most of the show, the things that I've seen, interesting. Yeah.
How about the chat situation? Like, do you like to chit chat during a Twitch event yourself?
Well, I not particularly. I mean, I think it's nice to have that option, maybe at the end or in between sets or what have you, to get some feedback. But I'm not particularly interested in the live chatting while somebody's performing. I find that distracting. I'd rather just focus on the performance.
Right. Yeah, the same as, like, people, like, what was your best way? What's your most memorable time, if you've ever done it, that you had to tell someone to shut up during a gig if they were talking too loud?
Oh, gee, gosh. I don't know, Matt. I tend not to engage people that way. I mean, you know, when I'm performing, I just kind of focus on the performing. So I'm not sure I've had any really bad experiences, but you know, certainly some of the back in my punk rock days years ago, I certainly had some gigs where people were you know, getting in my face or actually trying to get in the way of my drums and, you know, trying to deliver some kind of message. Yeah, that's probably the most memorable. I can't remember exactly which events, but that was a commonplace thing in 80s punk rock. So that's the best I can come up with.
Right on. I had an experience once in London that felt also like punk rock, where the guy at the show threw a full glass of wine straight in my face while playing.
Oh yeah. Wow. Yeah, no. I certainly had beers and other drinks thrown in my direction back then as well. Yeah, yeah.
Lots of spit then too. All of those droplets. We can't have like the spit of the droplet anymore at the gig.
No, certainly not. Well, yeah. Well, hey, I don't want to monopolize the conversation here. There must be some other callers. I would hope
right
at this
on.
Point.
Well, Dan, thanks for checking in. You know, stay safe, and we'll talk soon again.
You bet. All right. Look forward to listening to the rest of the show. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Right on. All right, folks. That was Dan calling from Brooklyn. If you're out there in the land of the East Coast, the Internet, and the universe, you might want to call Gig Talk at 518-622-2598. We have another call very quickly.
Caller, you're on the air.
What?
You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. How's it going?
It's okay. Hanging in. How are you?
Is this Matt?
Yes, this is Matt. Yeah, you're on the radio.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, direct. There's no like busy signal unless there's a caller on the air.
Oh, okay, wow. Yeah, well, I was just wondering what kind of van you can recommend for, like, mountain towns.
Okay, well, this is exciting because we're merging Gig Talk with Car Talk right now. And we're interested in these blends, so...
Oh, well, I mean, I was just wondering, basically, like... what kind of van you can recommend that won't blow a rod, you know, going up mountains and going down mountains, that could handle
right
well on windy roads and also hold a lot of equipment?
Mm-hmm.
If you have any suggestions.
That's a good question. Tom, do you want to weigh in on this? Is there a Wave Farm van?
There is not, and I know very little about transmissions unless they are followed by the word art.
Okay. Huh. Well, what I would say
well,
is the first
I'm a flautist.
What?
I'm a flautist. Does that affect maybe the van I'd want?
Well, I mean, unless you're getting a bass flout, that would be like really like 12 feet. Like, how long is the longest flute?
I would just say... just a double? Like a
I
double
mean, like,
flute?
The largest van I'm going to recommend to you is maybe 10 feet long. So unless we're talking about a flute that's like 16 feet, I think you're going to be okay with whatever flute van situation you have.
But I heard that like something about the chassis and various other parts that handle either well or not well when it's taking like hard turns and maybe flipping over.
The key of the van is you need good tire rods and you need a strong axle. And if you buy a van that has too much rust underneath, you're going to have all of this damage that's accruing over time. And once you're using the van all the time, eventually your tire is going to fall off on the side of the road somewhere, and you don't want that.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to avoid that. It's just looking has been really difficult, you know?
Yeah, so the van I got recently is a Chevy Astro van. And Astro vans, to me, are the good middle ground between the minivan, like a Plymouth Voyager, and a Ford Econoline, like a cargo van.
And but do you have to build a bed in the back?
I mean, if you wanted to build a bed.
Just for weight, I heard that if you don't build a bed in the back, that you have a problem with weight, with like the lack of weight.
True. I don't think it'll spin out in the snow
if you don't have something heavy back there.
Well, yeah, you need something heavy. Like that's truthful that it's good to have something like just some weight in the back of the van, but there's no need to do it with a bed. You could do it with
my flute isn't that heavy. You know what I mean?
The what?
My flute isn't.
Yeah, the flute. Yeah, I mean
that heavy.
Pound flute, then you're going to be okay. But what I'd say is, yeah, getting a van that has all-wheel drive is the most important thing.
Okay, all-wheel drive. Is that the same as four-wheel drive?
Yeah, exactly. Four-wheel drive and all-wheel drive, I do believe, are the same thing. If anyone listening wants to chime in on the type of van that this flautist wants, you know, we're available to chat, and also
if you're selling a van, if anyone's selling a van,
if we can get a van sold over Gig Talk, that's a great opportunity. People can contact me directly from the Facebook page and I can direct them.
And hey, you guys are talking about gigs online, but what about a mobile gig out of a van where you just put the speakers on top of the van and then you travel through neighborhoods playing?
I think something like that is already afoot.
Really? That's. I thought I just came up with that. I mean, that was part of the van plan, but okay.
I mean, yeah, if you were a flautist and you amplified your flout and your flute and you plugged it into a PA and drove it across New York City or New York State, wherever you are, I mean, that's always an original idea, but I think other people are thinking about transportation and transit in the same way.
Right.
And so, like, it's your thought is just part of the collective consciousness.
Okay. Well, if you could think of, you know, if you guys want to talk about, you know, maybe the types of speakers and maybe some solar setup in the van where you can have all the sound system kind of going and
I think what you're hinting at is that you don't see gigs returning into buildings. Like, you're not going to be playing flute in a concert hall anytime soon, but you might be able to play flute in the parking lot of a Kmart.
Exactly. If I stay in the van, you know?
Yes. Do you think the Kmart should go out of its way to start promoting paying artists to show up in their parking lots?
Wow. I mean, that would be a start, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just the same way Yoohoo should have paid the rent of the Gem store down in the East Village, because Yoohoo essentially was stealing the Gem store milkshake.
Wow. That's not cool.
Yeah. Not cool. Yeah.
That's really not cool. But yeah, I mean, you know, that could be something interesting, you know, even maybe a combination of internet and parking lot, just park in random neighborhoods and just broadcast.
Yeah, my friends had a band in the late 2000s, or no, the early 2000s. And they were called Rated R. And there's actually cool footage of them playing in parking lots as like a hardcore kind of grind band.
Wow.
And, you know, the situation there was, I think, about being in public space in an antagonistic way to challenge authority, where right now I would say I think your flute would be better served to be in front of a Kmart parking lot than a grindcore band would be.
I think so. And in fact, you know, in a way, I am challenging authority because, you know, our current administration is like, hey, let's open back up. You don't have to wear a mask, blah, blah, blah. So I'm still keeping, you know, still flying in the face of authority in that sense.
Yeah, well, we have to figure out the best ways to subvert authority and be safe at the same time.
Right. I think being safe, I guess my point is being safe is, in fact, you know, going against the establishment right now.
I see. Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's more punk rock to be inside than it is to be a grindcore band that wants to play in a club.
Right. That's basically what I'm saying.
I just wanted
to say, you know, my band, which is me, just me, it's called Wear Pussy. So check that out.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have a good night.
We'll check in. Call back again. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Well, folks, we're having a lot of fun here on Gig Talk. And hey, we're going to introduce the special guest of the evening. And it's Ava Novoa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I see your screen, and I'm going to show you on...
screens. Though I had to plug my phone, because I had been teaching earlier, and Zoom eats up a lot of batteries. So you're awesome, too. Good.
Yeah, cool. So...
I have a tablet and the phone.
Yeah, I've never seen two screens before at the same time, but... I think it's a cool future.
And I thought twice, like, should I put one screen or two, right? But they have me there as a guest who's going to talk about being an educator right now, right? So I thought it was appropriate.
So when you're so let's back up for a second and introduce Kevin Shea, because Kevin is potentially – Kevin showed up a half hour late to the show today.
Hello? Is it working?
Yeah, it's working.
Yeah, I've been having it like crazy. I don't know about you guys, but during this whole pandemic episode of chaos, one of the chaotic things that's not so bad in the overall scheme of things, but for me has been spotty internet. And it's like, I've always assumed at some point this would happen, but it's like throughout the last 2 months, it goes on, it shuts off. But so that's what happened right now. Anyway, so I don't know. Have you experienced that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I've had that not with my internet, but some student who's right now, like, because they left town and they're upstate somewhere, their internet was kind of not good or shitty. And then we had, like, either the call got interrupted or the image gets frozen and you hear half of it, but yeah,
it's frustrating. But I mean, I guess, like, I can't complain in the long run, but I don't know. I don't have FiOS. I have cable, so maybe that's maybe it's time to invest in FiOS.
It might be. I mean, how about this? Do you think it's because in your building, everyone's home and they're watching, the Muppet Show 24/7?
Well, yeah, that's part of it. Is that no one's doing anything? I'm like, just do something with your life, you know? Have some. Yeah. Go out and inspire some people.
Everyone's watching Kermit the Frog nonstop all day.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. But so anyway, so sorry about that. About my.
That's okay. Internet. Hey, Ava, can you tell us a story of a time a drummer didn't show up to the gig?
Yeah, that's a good one.
When the drummer didn't show up to the gig. Oh wow, I don't know. Like, well, I remember being on tour once, and because I think the drummer was someone else's band, but the drummer had missed his flight or something. And we were there in, what was that, Berlin? It was not Berlin. It was somewhere in Europe. Maybe it was
Stuttgart?
It was somewhere in Belgium. Anyway, okay. Antwerp. Everyone knows him. Yeah, but anyway, he made it, but we were not sure. Because either, like, it's not he had missed his flight, like, either the airline company had messed up the flight time, and that's the only time where I thought, whoa, this gig is going to happen without a drummer. And we had been through the same band, so, but luckily he made it right in time. Well,
that's pretty, I mean, so, like, let's back up for a second, and why don't you introduce yourself as an artist and musician to the radio listening internet community, and, yeah.
I'll Who, me?
Yeah, you, please.
Okay, so I'm sorry, like, I'm looking like this because my phone at the moment is charging. Like, I've been teaching today, and I was using both the phone and the
yeah, you
the,
have this wild left.
Yeah, like, hello, WGXC.
I should have asked for some of your Wi-Fi technology.
Right. But anyway,
oh, it is, but we have a live talk show on right now, so I can only talk for a moment.
Oh, sure.
We have a call.
We have a caller.
Hello?
Oh, we have a, so I'll introduce myself
right,
later.
Yes.
Okay.
At 9 o'clock, this show will be over.
Is it not a what caller number? That wants to talk to Gig Talk, Tom?
It's the Chicken Man again.
Yeah, the Chicken Man.
We had a guy call last week. 362. He was talking all about chicken and how he can't prepare chicken.
Sharing chicken recipes.
He was like 18 years old and trying to learn how to live on his own.
Okay, buddy. I'll call you at about 9:05. All right, thanks.
I guess we got
right on. Okay, so Ava, please continue.
Okay, yeah, but I'm going to make it super short because I don't want to miss the call about the chicken and talk. But...
Yeah.
Anyway, so who am I? I'm originally from Spain, Barcelona. I was born there, though that's not my home for a long time, soon 15 years. So I moved to the Netherlands for studying. And that's where I finished my bachelor in jazz, and then I took a master's degree, which back then didn't even exist in Spain. And so long story short, I spent 7 years in Netherlands, and even learned Dutch there, and I worked and I learned tons from their approach to everything. Like, it's awful weather, but I practiced tons at the conservatory where I studied, and that was great. And then after 7 years and learning Dutch and working at a musical theater, which was a great thing too, I decided to, it was time for a move. And then I came to New York.
Okay.
And that 7.5 years ago, over seven years ago. And since I've been here, so I've been doing, kept on going with my career as a pianist, improviser, composer. I released my own records. I don't know if I should do this, but since we're talking about music. I have more, but I thought, let's just choose the new one. So this was recorded in Miami a few years
ago. It's called Ava Novoa Satellite for the people that can't see
it. So this is
you're showing it to me.
Yeah, or to everyone there.
That's true. No one else can see this.
Yeah, this is a private Zoom conversation.
Oh, okay. I thought, okay. Yeah. Anyway, that's
all audio.
Yeah.
And basically, like, what do I do? So I play piano and I write music. But I'm also an educator. I've been teaching for over 20 years now, and I love it. And I think, like, actually, it affects my playing in many ways. Like, I work mostly with kids, though I also teach adults or teenagers. In Holland, I was a teacher at the conservatory where I studied, and I could have chosen to stay there, and that was my gig. Like, I was set. I had this great gig teaching jazz at college level. But I quit that to come here to New York, and it's been great so far.
What about the in terms of living in Europe or in Amsterdam, Netherlands, with in terms of the funding for musicians? Do you find it difficult making that transition from a place that actually supports artists to New York City?
I spent a lot of time in Amsterdam, though the city where I studied in the Netherlands was The Hague, Den Haag. Mm. And I mean, one thing that's great about working in Holland as a self-employed musician is that you can negotiate what they call reiskosten. That's the first thing you negotiate when getting a gig or like they pay for your traveling costs. Mm. Meaning if you travel by car, they pay for your gasoline or if you're traveling by train, then they reimburse you your train costs, which is really great. And I mean, it's a small country, meaning it's not hard to get anywhere, but the trains are expensive. So usually that's part of getting paid in Holland. And yeah, I mean, there are a lot of funds. While I was there as a student, I was really lucky that I got this scholarship to do my master's, 16,000 euros in 1.5 years. So I was getting, and I was not paying tuition fees. So that's the part that, I mean, I've never studied in the States. So I came here to play and create music and meet people and musicians. Exactly. So I haven't had experience studying here, but from what I hear, like studying here is prohibited.
But it sounds like you figured out because you want it. You're also talented and passionate about being an educator that you can still, you're still living and working during the pandemic, right?
Oh yeah. I'm extremely grateful that I chose that path because I'm aware and I have a lot of friends who, I mean, let's say they teach some, but they don't have that side, or let's say they didn't go for it. Maybe they're figuring it out now, actually. And I've been talking to friends who are now like, well, I'm trying to get more students. And maybe it's a nice chance for them to get a gig because it looks like this is right now. I mean, it's great. Let's face it. And yeah. I teach through two programs here in Brooklyn. And the kids have done, like, I'm amazed every week. They're just practicing because they're home. And even kids who were not that much into it, like, you know, the kid who signed in because maybe dad or mom wants them to play and they kind of like it. But it's sometimes when I realized when I was there in person during the lesson, it was sometimes hard to get them engaged in playing. Right now, they're like, those are the kids that are now loving playing piano.
Wow. So there could be possibly, due to educators like yourself right now, a new golden age in the music 10 to 12 years from now.
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, there's a weird part about that we're all practicing alone at home. But let's say for my students who are what I call like they're already players and performers, though they might be 5 or 6 or 7 or 12 or 20, but they're already, you know, they have the gift of music and they enjoy it and they love playing. And they're figuring out that it's actually, it's also a very nice way to express yourself. And especially now I find that for a lot of kids, and let me share this, last week through one of the programs, my boss organized 2 open mics, Thursday and Friday. Like I was exhausted at the end of the week, but I was so happy that like 8 of my students played one day and 6 of my students played on the next day. They were all at their best. They had never played as good.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From their homes.
Yeah. And they were I think
pressure, and they were amazing.
Well, that's awesome. Did you encounter any students that didn't want to continue through this period because they weren't getting in person?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've also lost a few students either because...
Oh, we have a call. Hold on one second. Yeah. Yeah, folks, this is Ava Navola giving us her news as an educator right now. And we also have a caller on the radio. Let's see if we can hear them. Hi, caller, are you there? How can we help?
Yeah, I'm a rapist from Chelsea.
Rapist?
A rapist.
Is that like a rapper or?
It is a rapper, yes.
Okay. No, I never heard rapist. I like rapist better.
Hi. Oh wait, I can hear in one ear. I'm a rapist from Chelsea, and I rap.
What's what have you been doing during all this pandemic? Got some ideas?
Well, I can say that there's something wonderful about rapping and hip hop and hippity hopping that I think everybody here could definitely benefit from.
You go old school, new school, no school?
I don't go to school.
I mean, for the rap.
Yeah, no, I don't go to school for rap. I just rap from my heart, you know?
You got the old, like, old school Will Smith style, old school type of rap, or are you?
Old school Tupac style rapist.
Oh, Tupac.
Tupac rapist. That sounds like a Belgian ale, a Tupac rapist.
It is a
Belgian. You could market that. You could put some kind of t-shirt design.
Well, I'm going to potentially, here's, check this out. I'm going to get a funky beat going with for the rapist. And if you want to give us some rhymes, and then Ava, you can play some piano. We'll get improvisation.
I don't know if we'll be able to hear each other, but that's a good idea.
I hope the sound works.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll work if we all play it.
Hear that rap? Do you hear that rapist?
Rapist.
Give us your best rhyme. No
Yo
rapist. Yo rapist.
I think we lost the rapist.
Is the rapist still there?
I think they're gone. I think they hung up.
Hello, Chelsea. Oh, no. Did you? I think they're gone.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was exciting. Maybe they'll call back.
Chelsea's gone?
I think so.
No more Chelsea.
No, I think they got. No, I bet. I like the idea of a rapist. Is that a term? Maybe I'm way behind the.
I don't even know.
Like if I, guess I
speak languages, but I don't speak any of them well anymore.
So, okay.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You could say you're a you say you're a piano player, and then you say you're a pianist. You don't say you're a singer.
But I don't say. Do people say drummist? Maybe they do.
Drummist or then like, well, you can say bassist, right? So makes sense.
Vocalist, I guess. Yeah,
maybe yeah, vocalist too. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait a second. How come the drummer don't get none of that?
Yeah. You're a drummist. I'm a drummist.
I'm a drummist. I like that. It's cool.
Guitarist.
Oh yeah. Wait a second. It's all coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Accordion, the same, right?
Accordionist.
Accordionist. Damn it.
Yeah. Wait a second. Yeah. How is this happening?
Percussionist. Oh my god.
Yeah, so drummers and rappers have been relegated to the
Yeah, or trumpeter.
Trumpeter, trumpetist.
Is trumpetist a thing? Maybe.
Oh, it is in Spanish, trompetista.
Oh, I think our caller, we might have our rappist from Chelsea back. Let's see.
Caller,
hello,
you
Chelsea rapper?
Are on WGXC. Hello.
Hi, I'm the rappist. I'm back. I lost connection.
What's up?
Yeah. Well, do you want to do some live rapping with us on Gig Talk?
Sure, I'd love to.
Okay. Do you have a BPM you like to spit your fat beats at?
Let's just say 100 BPM.
Okay, I'll give you 100. 1 second.
Something pretty slow.
I don't know if you'll be able to hear us, though, but we'll try. We all have to go at once.
I want to know how to find gigs.
Good.
On the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. That was a beep. I can kind of hear it.
Let's get some piano in there.
Right.
I can't really hear you, man.
Can't hear me.
No, we can hear the rapist.
Oh, now, it's just like.
Yeah.
Hippity hopping, hip hopping, the hop of the hip, in my hip, hipping to the hip, hippity hoppity hop, hoppity hip hop, hop hippity hip hop,
I couldn't hear either.
I couldn't hear the beat. Like, as soon as we were all there, I was just trusting for the best that my cords were matching your hands.
And then I saw you on the delay with my hands like a second behind. It's funny like that.
Right.
The problem was for like why the beat wasn't so loud is my laptop is not so close to where the source of the beat was. But right. We could prove that in the future.
You
but
Ravis,
let me ask you this.
We can all do online. We can all do online YouTube. Go to YouTube and type in 1 BPM and then just press play.
Yeah, that's true. But Rapis, do you want to take piano lessons?
I took piano lessons for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Then I stopped.
How long ago is that?
That's maybe 6 years ago, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And may I ask you, why did you quit?
I quit because I moved to guitaring and rapping.
Oh, I see.
What style of piano were you in? Yeah. Old school piano, new school?
Old school, classical, Mozart mm-hmm. piano.
Mozart.
Do you miss it or not?
Kind of sounded something like you can picture with your mind's ear. Like, kind of something like that.
That sounds great to me.
Yeah.
Is that live?
That was live. That was at my piano.
That sounds like someone who hasn't stopped playing the piano.
Oh, that was maybe the first time I touched that in a few years.
Wow.
We should start calling you Maestro Rapist.
Yeah,
Maestro,
I mean, you check out your Mozart.
I would love that title.
But do you have, someone like Ava is a master teacher, she might be able to re-inspire you and give you, think about this as a piano intervention. So Ava, when this happens that you're here meeting a student who used to be a pianist and now they're a rapist, how do you bring them back to the ivory?
Oh, wow. I mean, that's
the ivory.
I mean, I've had that in the past, like some student who had lessons for a while, then they stopped for whatever reason, either like could be the same reason that they moved to something else or they changed instrument or they moved somewhere else or they hated their teacher, which I've had to deal with people like that. Pretty often I've had people who quit piano because they didn't like the teacher and they probably had the wrong teacher.
I love my teacher.
I know what it's like. But, you know, actually sometimes, like, I've had students who really, especially with adults, like, who sometimes you've had, like, 20-year gap. And how do you bring that person back into making music? And it's actually very challenging. Because, I mean, I'm not meaning to say that most of those people maybe had a bad experience. No, not at all. Maybe, like, they just moved somewhere else and they didn't have access to a piano or a keyboard. But sometimes, like, they kind of think that they missed time, you know, like, and they want to catch up with whatever time they didn't practice. And it's hard to adjust. But I've had wonderful students who picked it up again and were very happy after.
So that means, Rapis, that you could play the piano again, but yep. I think you might be famous as a hippity-hoppeter first.
I think I might be. I personally got involved with a heavy metal band called Genital Origami, and that was the beginning of my transformation from a classical musician to a rapper and a hip-hop artist.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what was the name of the band?
Yeah.
Genital Origami. You can find us on SoundCloud.
Spotify?
No Spotify. No, we don't have that.
Genital Origami.
I recommend you all look it up.
Where did that name come from? Is it really about the origami of genital
well, it,
interactions?
It's about how we perceive gender in our modern era.
Right.
That's cool. I like it.
Yeah, I like that.
Are you rapping in that too?
I'm not rapping in that, but maybe in some future songs. We're still very much an active band.
Well, yeah. How have you been frustrated that Genital Origami hasn't been able to break further into the scene because there's no live gigs right now? Have you been able to
We've played live gigs before. We played the music in open mic. I mean, we're a big deal where we come from.
Chelsea?
But, live music is not, it's not something that really exists now in this age of quarantine. We're all inside.
So have you come up with any new strategies to promote the Genital Origami brand?
Well, we've been promoting online. Our fans have still been listening and giving us feedback. We're still coming up with new song ideas, and we're excited to come back once we can interact again.
So potentially better than before is what you're saying.
Definitely better than before. We were like a truck or like a car. And what we're going to be next is we're going to be like a transformer, like the robot.
That's cool.
That is
wow.
Cool. Yep.
I looked up the phrase genital origami and the word band, and there's more things that are NSFW things, but I'm also very intrigued about this too.
We are not NSFW. We are a family friendly band.
Okay.
If your children are open minded.
Excellent.
Even we have a lot of listeners. I mean, Bill Clinton and his family have even called themselves fans of ours.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Did you know that Bill Clinton loved free jazz?
Bill Clinton does love free jazz, and we love free jazz too.
Who's your favorite?
Can I ask you something? When was your last rehearsal with this band?
Our last Genital Origami rehearsal. I think of every interaction I have with my bandmates as a rehearsal. So I guess in a sense this afternoon in a Skype meeting. But our last rehearsal, wow. I suppose musically, was pre-quarantine 2 months ago.
Wow. Well, I feel motivated to try and get Genital Origami live on a Gig Talk next week to have the whole band on.
We'd absolutely love that.
Yeah, we could facilitate that kind of situation. So write to the Gig Talk Facebook page.
And who are the other players? Like, what do they play?
Yeah, tell us about the...
Oh, we only have one other member. He's our vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very very interesting person. You may know him or not. He's very famous. His name is Herman.
Okay, I know who that is, but I didn't
Pee-wee
know
Pee Wee Herman. Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse.
He's Pee Wee Herman. I think they might be the same person, but I don't know for sure. Or as we say in the rap business, faux shiz.
Oh yeah, because this. Can you have some other terms? Can you tell us some other terms?
Can I tell you about who?
Herman? Sorry, can
tell us more terms about rapping.
Like for shiz. Like, how would you say? Hey, I'll catch you all later.
I'll say, yo, bros, latas.
Latas.
Latas. I mean, it takes a lot of work to be as cool and hip as I am. So to tell the people listening at home, I don't want you to think that it's it's easy, but you know, with practice, you guys can be a cool rapper like me.
That brings it right back to our the start. We've come full circle, practicing.
Well, I want to give this rapper one more chance to show his stuff, and let's. I'm going to give another beat, and then Ava, you'll play, and then we'll keep.
No, you have to play 1 second later than your beat.
That's cool. Yeah, that's going to be good.
Okay, I'll do my best.
I got to find a beat, though. Hold on a second. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, lay down a beat.
Here, who's going to lay down the beat first?
I don't even know if you can hear my beats. You hear that?
I can't
hear. Right. Okay, I found something. Okay, I got it. Here we go.
Hey, here's Maraca.
How's this? Here we go. There it is.
Are you playing it on your iPhone speaker?
I am. I'm on my iPhone.
You should plug it in. It's so quiet. I can't hear anything.
Give us a rap. Rap is.
Okay. Bees, boop, sliding on some poop, talking about junk changing, smash the slippity slide, junk, rapping, go, rapping, rap, rappity, rap, rap, uh-oh, Bill Clinton's listening.
Shout out Bill Clinton. Kill Blinton. Yeah,
Kill
right, Blinton.
Lahayim.
Carl, we got to go because we're going to say goodbye because we're almost out of time. But call back next week and we're going to get genital origami more exposure.
Yes, we will. Amen to that.
I like this kid. I don't know him at all, but I think he's got something special.
Thank you. Bye.
Take it easy, caller. That was awesome.
Yeah, I was just going to say what I think is really important to acknowledge is that a lot of people stop playing their instruments not because they're either lazy or they're uninspired. It really is because they have bad teachers. And
that is absolutely the reason. Anyway, thank you for listening, and thank you to everybody listening at home. I am the rapist from Chelsea. Thank you very much, and later.
Okay,
later.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Folks, that was genital origami, and I thought we'd hung up already, but as I was saying to Ava, thank you for being a creative person in the world right now. You're welcome to come back on Gig Talk anytime.
Thank you so much for having me, and likewise.
Yeah. What did you make for dinner tonight?
Oh, you were not going to ask me that, because we're not doing like pizza challenges at the moment, right?
No. Hey, Kevin, how come you haven't shared what you eat?
Go ahead.
We've got one final caller.
The world wants to know what you eat. So it's time to start sharing.
That's what I ate. Okay, so I was literally up from teaching at 7:15 or so, and so what did I make? Like super quick, because you said like, oh, be there by 8:10, right? So I made some arboreal rice with garlic.
Yep.
And then I had a veggie burger.
Nice.
Good, and a romaine salad.
Cool. I had a quinoa. And then I had chickpeas with some tomato and mushroom and some mustard greens on top.
Whoa. Mustard greens. I don't think I've had mustard greens.
It's just more like a bitter spinach.
So they're like spinach and they're bitter.
Yeah, more like a chard. Between like a spinach and a chard, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think we're about to run out of time, though.
What did you eat?
All right, before we run out of time, we're Gig Talk. It's 2020. And I ate some soup, but I've been spicing up my soups with all kind of cumin, with all kind of turmeric, with all kind of